with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally, dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air here tonight with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. If you have trouble with the toll-free number, you can always try the other number, 216-901-0933. That's 216-901-0933, and that'll work just as good as the toll-free number, 888-677-9673. Oh, well, let's go ahead and open our program with a word of prayer here this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for a wonderful day today. We just thank you for your blessing. And we just pray now that as we spend a few minutes here on the radio tonight, that you would just bless the program, use it for your glory. Help us to point somebody to Christ. Help us to strengthen somebody's walk with you and just use this for your glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, a beautiful day here today, and, you know, it's just we're fortunate sometimes, and here in Northeast Ohio, where, of course, I'm broadcasting from, was a little bit on the warm side compared to what we've had this August. This August here in Northeast Ohio has been one of the coldest Augusts on record. I don't know if it's the actual coldest, but it's sure been one of the coldest. But in this last week, it decided to remember that it's August. It's felt like October here lately. But this past week, it seemed to remember that it's August and it's still summertime and the temperatures went up, the humidity went up. And so it's been kind of nice to see summer come back again. And just a good day. Had a good day at church. I hope you had a good day at your church today. Hope you had a chance to get out, worship the Lord. And we had a good time. Our church had a time of fellowship afterwards today. Of course, I pastor the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And Richfield is located right midway between Akron and Cleveland, Ohio, right on Interstate 77, actually, right where Interstate 80, the Ohio Turnpike, crosses it. And we meet in the Holiday Inn Express there in their conference room. And boy, we had a great time today. Our church decided to do Pastor's Appreciation Day today. And so we had a nice time of fellowship afterwards and just an enjoyable day. And then a good service at the nursing home this afternoon and a good service tonight. Had some visitors this evening. And so really nice to be able to enjoy fellowship with God's people, chance to preach, teach, and all those things. And then, of course, to be on the air tonight, what a blessing. And so we appreciate that. We appreciate the opportunity. Appreciate you listening, even being on the air. If people weren't listening, there wouldn't be much point of being on the air. But having said all that, of course, we understand that not everybody in the country's having the greatest day. There was an earthquake out in San Francisco, just north there, Napa Valley area. If you've been following the news, I guess a few people confirmed injured in that. I heard also that this evening there was a more powerful earthquake down in Peru, and I guess there was one yesterday in Chile, and a lot of shaking going on. My wife and I down in the Samoan Islands, we went through a 6.8 earthquake. I remember that, and that was, you know, watching the coconut trees do the hula there was kind of interesting. But, you know, we understand that we live in a world that isn't always the best place. There's hurricanes, there's earthquakes, there's tornadoes, there's blizzards, there's droughts, there's all kinds of stuff that happen, and that's because this world is under a curse. And the curse that this world is under is because of sin. The Bible says that because of one man's sin, death entered into the world. And so Adam's sin and disobeyed God. He ate the forbidden fruit, and as a result of that, sin has passed upon all of us. We inherit it from our father and all the way back to Adam. And, you know, it's kind of interesting that when you study genetics, that in genetics, they have determined that every human being on the face of the planet is a descendant of one man. And, of course, they nickname him Adam. Well, if they read the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, they'd know that. And, of course, also they know that from genetic studies, they believe that every single person on the planet is the descendant of one woman. And inside of each one of your cells, we have mitochondria, which is almost like a independent little cell within your cell. It's kind of the powerhouse of your cell, and mitochondrial DNA is distinct in that it only is inherited, I believe, from your mother. And by studying mitochondrial DNA, they've determined that they believe every single human being is a descendant of one woman, and they call her mitochondrial Eve. And, well, again, if you read the Bible says that Eve is the mother of all living. So it's kind of nice how science validates the Bible every step of the way. Well, it's not exactly what I was going to talk about here tonight. Started to talk about these earthquakes, and we see earthquakes and wars and rumors of wars and all of that, and that's because of sin that's in the world and the curse because of sin that's on the world. But as believers, what should our reaction to that be? Should we be running in fear? Should we be hiding in the hills or hiding in our basement, cowering, wondering what's going to happen? No, we ought to be out doing what we can. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty to God, to the pulling down of strongholds. And we have an opportunity to be a witness, to be a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. I've mentioned it on the radio before, mentioned it at our church, that even the most feeble light glows brighter the darker it gets. And you can prove that very easily. And now, don't cheat if you have a cell phone that has one of those flashlight apps. My son-in-law, his cell phone has a flashlight app on it, and it works pretty good. But how many people, if you were to take your cell phone right now outside in the dark, could use your cell phone to look for something in on the porch or on the driveway or something like that? Yeah, how many of you have done it? I know I've done that. How many people have used their cell phone to spot the key on or the keyhole on the door when you come home late at night, forgot to turn the porch light on? And see, during the daytime, you hardly notice that light that your cell phone gives off because it's not very bright. But at night, that feeble light really makes a difference. And the darker things get, the worse things get, the easier it is for a believer, even a weak believer, even a young believer, even an immature believer, to be a stronger light. The Bible says that we ought to let our light shine before men, and the darker it gets, I'm telling you, the easier it is to let your light shine. It doesn't take much in a dark place, and the world seems to be getting darker by the day. Well, again, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll get you on the air here this evening. And we have Jeremiah calling in. And Jeremiah, welcome to the program tonight.
Yes. Hey, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening. You're our first caller tonight. Usually you get in toward the end of the program, but we got you at the beginning tonight.
Yeah, I got a flashlight app on my phone.
Yeah, they are pretty bright. I still have a dumb cell phone. I like it, though, because when I was a kid, I used to watch Star Trek, and I always liked when Captain Kirk would flip open his communicator, you know, and beam me up, Scotty. And I always thought that was pretty cool. So I got one of those phones that, you know, you flip it open, you talk into it. It's kind of like the old Star Trek series, but I kind of like it.
Yeah, like it says in the Bible, you should shed light into the world.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
This world is not doing so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'd like to have a special prayer request.
Mm-hmm.
There's this lady across the street from me this past Wednesday morning at 1:30. My neighbor that lives up above from her talked to her this weekend, and she told me that what happened was there's three-piece cars in front of my house.
Mm-hmm.
Where the lady across the street, she was drunk, and she was climbing the four stairs, and she slipped and busted her head open.
Mm.
And they had to call an ambulance, and they rushed her to the hospital. And I found out the lady was upstairs. She told me that she's in a coma, and they're thinking about pulling the plug.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to pray that God will have mercy on her and save her.
Certainly, yes. And I'm sure that there are people out there who will definitely hold her up in prayer. Unfortunately, from what you've described of the situation, more likely than not, the individual's probably not a saved person. And, so maybe, just maybe, God can bring somebody across her path and have an opportunity to be a witness to her. You never can tell.
Well, she's in a coma, and they're going to think about pulling a plug this week.
Yeah. Well, and oftentimes when somebody's in a coma, they can still hear. And it is amazing sometimes people who will have awareness of things, they might not be able to respond. My wife's an RN, and she deals with hospice. And she's, a lot of times in dealing with people who are dying or in, unresponsive. And of course, we've also, through the church, dealt with people in comas and things like that. And I always tell people, my wife agrees, that as long as they're still alive, you should try to witness to them if you have the opportunity. Now, I know you probably would not have access to be able to witness to this particular individual, but God can bring somebody across your path still. And for others listening that might find themselves in a position to be a witness to somebody who's in the hospital, as long as they're alive, don't let the fact that they're in a coma keep you from being a witness to them. Sometimes they can hear very well what you're talking about. Sometimes they can respond, to a plea and an urging to trust Christ as their Savior. They can respond to God, in prayer, silent prayer, even though they may not be able to communicate that to you. And, I've heard stories and I've seen things myself where people have prayed and asked somebody to pray. And, you've seen sometimes some change in their pulse or their blood pressure or something that indicates almost that something is happening, that they're responding in some sense. So I would urge people, even when somebody's in a coma, don't give up. Be a witness to them. And along with that, it would also be a reminder that when you're in a hospital room visiting with somebody who's in a coma, don't assume that they cannot hear what you're saying. There's documented cases where people have woken up from comas and that they have told about what people were saying when they came in the room and they were around them. So anytime somebody's got life in their body, you ought to take the opportunity, if it's possible, to be a witness to them, because you never can tell. You might be that last person to be able to share the gospel with them.
I'm definitely going to pray for her.
Yeah, pray that God will bring somebody across your path. And certainly we encourage people to pray and ask God to bring somebody across your path. So appreciate you bringing that to us there, Jeremiah.
Yeah, I'd like to ask you a question. What verses in the Bible does it talk about healing, that God can heal you?
About healing? First one that comes to my mind is in James, the book of James, right after Hebrews in the Bible. And let me get turned over there. James chapter 5 here, and let's drop down to verse number 13. In James chapter 5, verse 13, the Bible starts here saying, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." And then I'll read the next one, because this verse goes along well with what we've been reading. Verse 16 says, "Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And right there, we have an admonition to pray for people. And we need to be careful when we think about this, because our idea of healing and God's ideas of healing might not always be the same. You know, when we think healed, we want to see somebody rise up from their sick bed and be around for a while. But having seen a number of people who are older with, you know, suffering the effects of old age and all of that, sometimes the healing that God gives to a believer is to heal them completely, in the sense that he delivers them from that body that's falling apart, and he welcomes them into heaven. And in heaven, where they have no pain, where they have no need for eyeglasses, hearing aids, walkers, wheelchairs, aspirin, Tylenol, ACE bandages, you name it, they're healed perfectly. And a lot of times we don't see that. We don't see that sometimes that's way, the way God desires to heal somebody. And so we don't understand it all the time. And sometimes, of course, there's healing such as Paul, when he had the thorn in the flesh, which was some kind of physical affliction. Most people think that it probably had something to do with his eyesight. And he prayed three times for that physical affliction to be removed, to be healed. And God said no. Sometimes God says he wants us to have that physical affliction. Unfortunately, there are people today who don't agree with God. And Paul, after praying three times and being told no by God, he was willing to trust God and say that now he would accept his condition, and that he praised God because he realized it would keep him humble, and that with that thorn in the flesh, he'd be able to serve God better. So sometimes, you know, God keeps the affliction there for a reason. A good friend of ours, he had some illness, or some, not illness, but some a back condition. He was in the hospital. And, you know, he loves the Lord, serves God. Him and his wife love the Lord, and they're active in their church. And they were serving God, and he developed this back condition, and he was in the hospital. And, you know, he could have been upset. He could have been, angry with God for allowing him to be in this condition. But while he was in the hospital, there was somebody who was actually reasonably well known, not directly, but I really can't go into the details there. But the individual was put into the hospital room right in a bed next to him. And he had an opportunity, him and his wife, to be a witness to that man and his family. And had he not been ill, he would not have been in the room with the guy, because the people weren't allowed in because they were trying to maintain some privacy. And, you know, there was a tremendous opportunity in his disability to have a tremendous ability to serve God and be a witness to somebody that probably they would not have had the opportunity to hear a clear presentation of the gospel that they did, because this man had a disability that put him in the hospital at just the right time. So, you know, we get carried away sometimes thinking that all illness has to be healed. And some people say that in Isaiah 53, where it says, "By his stripes we are healed," that means physical healing. And it's plainly talking about spiritual healing and all of that. When we trust Christ as our Savior, we're spiritually healed. And we certainly know that Jesus, when he was here, he healed people. And he healed them completely. He restored the sight to the blind. He restored hearing to the deaf. He gave the lame the ability to walk. All of these things. And they were healed completely. Now, problem is, they still lived in a body that had a sin nature, in a world that was cursed by sin. And later on, even the case where people were raised from the dead, They still later on suffered the effect of age, the effect of living in a world cursed by sin, and they developed other ailments at later times and died. Obviously, Lazarus, if you think of him, Jesus brought him back to life, but Lazarus later, of course, I don't know how old he was when he died, but he later succumbed to death and all, but when he was dead, Jesus raised him from the dead and healed him from what it was that caused him to die, certainly. And so we need to be aware that sometimes God has a plan for even sickness, and he'll use it for his glory. Now, some of the disciples, some of the apostles, they had the ability to heal. God gave them that ability there. Remember, I believe it was Peter that had the handkerchiefs that went out, and people were healed there. And, of course, then there was Paul, when he was shipwrecked on the isle of Patmos, he was shipwrecked, and he healed people while he was there, and even had the snake that bit him, and he should have died as a result. On Malta, that's what it was. And he survived. He was able to heal people. In fact, a couple times, some of the disciples did so well, people thought they were gods, and they had to remind people that they weren't gods. The unfortunate thing is, there's a lot of fake healers out there today. And I know I'm probably going a little further from your question, but there's a lot of fake faith healers out there today. On our website, live. withpastoral.com. That's our new website address, livewithpastoral.com. I do have on there a couple of programs that I did, I think about a little over a year ago, dealing with fake psychics and fake faith healers. And they're out there. Probably one of the most famous or notorious, I should say, was Peter Popoff, that walked around with a radio transmitter receiver in his ear. And when people came into his healing crusades, they would fill out cards and about what their prayer requests were and what their needs were. And then his wife was sitting backstage with a radio transmitter reading off these things to her husband. And the stage magician, the Amazing Randy, who, by the way, is an atheist, and he's not a friend of born again Christians in any way, shape, or form, but he provided a valuable service in debunking Peter Popoff, because he put a radio scanner, brought one in, him and another guy, and they caught the radio broadcast. And you can Google it online. You can find it. You know, you put in Peter Popoff and James Randi, I believe. James is the first name of the Amazing Randi. And you can find it. And there's the radio broadcast of Mrs. Popoff going, "Petey, Petey, can you hear me? If not, we're in trouble." And then he would pass off the words that his wife was saying as God speaking to him directly while he was working the audience. And it's amazing. There's a lot of stage tricks that they use. And when he was confronted on it, he first denied it. Then when they played the tape for him, he said, "Well, his wife helps God out." it's amazing. Probably the oldest trick in the book is growing out somebody's leg. I actually learned how to do that. I'm not a faith healer, but I can grow somebody's leg out. It's not hard at all. You have to have the right volunteer, and you judge them by the footwear that they're wearing. You wouldn't want somebody with sandals. And you get somebody with a shoe, preferably a slip-on shoe, is really good, where there's a little play in the heel. And then as you get them up there, you have to have them sitting there so that you can manipulate the heel of their shoe. And I'll willingly give the secret out over the air. You manipulate the heel of the shoe. You push in on the one foot that you want to be short on the person. And you say, "Well, here, God has revealed to me that your problem is one leg is shorter than the other. It needs to be grown out." And you can do it as theatrical as you want. But as you push in on the one shoe, you also manipulate the other shoe so that you pull it out a little bit away from the heel. And to observers, it looks as if one shoe's longer than the or one leg's longer than the other. And then it's very simple that you can say, well, God's given the healing. And then as you're saying that and doing whatever hocus pocus you want to make it theatrical, you manipulate the shoe that you've pushed in and you slowly bring it so that the heel comes out. And the effect to the people watching is that the leg grows out. It's a trick.
There's also quite a few fake healers on television too.
Oh yeah, and you know it's amazing. When my wife and I were missionaries in the Samoan Islands, we had a faith healer coming from New Zealand, and it took somebody who was a Baha'i. Most people might not know what the Baha'is are, but the Baha'i, it's a religious group that comes out of India. It's got some elements of Christianity, some elements of Hinduism, some elements of Islam. And this guy on the island where we were at in the island of Tutuila in American Samoa was a Baha'i, and he had a newspaper that he published. And he made a good point. He said, why is this guy not going to the hospital if he's such a great faith healer? Why is he going to the hotel on the island instead of the hospital? He said he should go to the hospital and go through the wards healing people. Why should they have to be put in a vehicle and brought to the hotel? He had a good point. Here's an unsaved person. Had made better sense than the people who were promoting the faith healing ministry where the lame were going to walk and the blind were going to see. And he came and he went and not much happened. And then some of them, they simply lie about what's going on. There's a whole lot more. I encourage people, go to our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can find some of that information. Hey, Jeremiah, I want to thank you for the call. And I got another caller coming in. We got a break coming up. And so we're going to take a break here before we get to our next call. But you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And I want you to stay tuned for the next...
I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
All right, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight, and hope you'll be able to join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here tonight, and we're going to get back to our callers here in just a moment. I want to mention, of course, that we're brought to you tonight not only by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor, but also by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. Of course, East Coast Pizza, the home of the homemade pizza, has calzones, stromboli sandwiches, wraps, Lebanese food, and a whole lot more. You can find East Coast Pizza located at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. You can call East Coast Pizza for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, right across from the Garfield Heights High School, at 216-341-9100. And of course, it's probably, if you're living in the Tampa area, a little bit of a delivery charge to deliver to Florida, but I don't think you'd get it warm either. But there's another opportunity there. If you're interested in getting into the pizza business yourself, whether you're in Northeast Ohio or whether you're in the Tampa Bay area, you can contact Gus at East Coast Pizza by calling 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100, and ask Gus how he can help you get started in your own pizza business, your own independent business, not a franchise, but your own business. He's got probably one of the best pizza crust and pizza sauce recipes you've ever had, and he'll share that with you. If you want to get into your own pizza business, give East Coast Pizza a call at 216-341-9100 and ask for Gus. Tell him you heard about him here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And, well, we're going to get back to our program here. Oh, one other thing I wanted to mention. Two other things, actually. This is why you write down notes beforehand. There's a website I encourage you to go to. A gentleman, 42 years old, Steve Weiss, recently diagnosed with cancer, a very aggressive form of lymphoma, and he's got five young children, loves the Lord, and him and his wife are going through a battle right now as he's undergoing chemotherapy, battling with cancer. I mentioned this to pray for Steve, and there's a website, PrayForSteve.com. And actually, I'm sorry, it's playforsteve.com, and for spelled F-O-R-E, advertising a charity golf outing at the Lion's Den Golf Course in Canal Fulton, Ohio. And even if you don't play golf or you're too far away to play golf there on September 28th, you can go online at play, P-L-A-Y, for Steve, F-O-R-E, and then Steve, of course, S-T-E-V-E, and that's playforsteve.com. And you can find out how you can better pray for this man and his family, and if God lays upon your heart to make a donation to help this family out as they're going through the medical bills, encourage you to do so. That's playforsteve.com. I've also linked that to our website, livewithpastoral.com. You can find it there, livewithpastoral.com, and click on the link for playforsteve.com. All right, and next thing I want to mention, too, before I get away here, is September 3rd. That's not this coming Wednesday, but the following Wednesday. I'm going to be speaking at Crusade Baptist Church in Copley, Ohio. It's on the west side of Akron, and Copley, Ohio, Crusade Baptist Church. And at 7 o'clock, I'm going to be there. We're going to be talking about current events. We're going to be talking about the Islamic State, the threat that it is to us, the threat that it is to Israel, and how God may be working in that part of the world. We're going to look at some Bible prophecy and things of that nature. That's Crusade Baptist Church in Copley, Ohio. It's on Copley Road, if you're familiar with the area between Copley Circle and Jacoby Road. And of course, you can always find out information about the church online. Just Google Crusade Baptist Church, Copley, Ohio. And Pastor Max McKenna, a good friend of mine, wanted me to come out and speak on the subject there. And so our church is going to join with them on September 3rd, 7 o'clock, Crusade Baptist Church in Copley, Ohio. All right, a little more advertising or notes than usual there coming out of the break, but you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this evening. And I might add, our new listeners in Tampa, Florida, I mean, if I can be of service to you, just send me an email at pastoral.maplenoll.us. That's Pastor Al at MapleKnoll, MapleKnoll.us. And, I don't mention a whole lot of things on the air, but under the right circumstances, I'm happy to pass some things on and be a help, be a blessing, be a service to you. All right, well, we've got Nancy calling in tonight. And Nancy, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Sorry to keep you waiting here.
Oh, that's very interesting. Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Glad to have you with us.
Oh, thank you. And I hope you're coming September 20th to our missions conference at Bible Baptist Temple.
I'm hoping to, but I may have a conflict that night. It remains to be seen. So,
well, you're mentioning all these other events.
And that's right. And we might as well mention that. It's out at Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid, Ohio, and Chardon Avenue there. And what was the date there again? September 20th?
September 20th.
Yeah.
Saturday. Yeah. 6:30.
I have to say this, that your church out there in Euclid, and of course your pastor, Pastor Risnacko, he can be heard on the radio here, and his wife, mm-hmm. Carol, good friends. And I'm telling you, you guys have some of the best cooks.
Oh, well, thank you. I went to two or three of your anniversary Sundays. And I must say that you all have some excellent cooks there, too.
Well, I don't know if it comes from being a Baptist or just, I don't know. Maybe it's just who I choose to associate with. You got to have good cooks.
I think that's it, yeah. Listen, I was very, very interested in that phone call from Jeremiah.
Right.
Praying, for his neighbor that's in a coma.
Mm-hmm.
And to be assumed that the person can hear. I was in nursing for 27 years with the elderly,
right.
And this was a personal crusade of mine. Even nursing personnel that were over me, they would talk about the person.
Oh, yeah.
If they couldn't, they would talk about the person right in the room as if they weren't there. I mean, like they, and things like, oh, gosh, I don't know if she's going to make it through the night and things like that. And I would educate. It was like a personal crusade of mine. Hearing is the last sense to go.
Right.
And you always have to assume that the person can hear. You don't know if they can or not,
mm-hmm.
but I always talk to them as if they could hear, and I witnessed to many of them. I just wanted to confirm that fact. It was just a personal crusade of mine, and I'm so glad you brought that out because it was just so frustrating to me when people would talk about people, the patients that were not able to talk or in a coma, as if they weren't even there.
Yeah.
And so anyhow, thank you for bringing that up. And then I wanted to mention about that shooting in Ferguson, Missouri. I know it mm-hmm. could have been overdone, but I just hope and pray that policeman gets a fair trial. I know it's in the grand jury now because it looks like, from what I've heard, that he was viciously attacked by Michael Brown. And they're making, Michael Brown out to be an innocent victim. And then another thing, they show this young photograph of Michael Brown to make him look like some innocent young teenager. And they did the same thing with Trayvon Martin.
And these are young men.
Yeah.
And big men.
And the man was like close to 300 pounds. And,
yeah.
And the same thing with Trayvon Martin. How do they get away with that? I just can't figure it out.
Well, media bias. And I would add this, that I wasn't there, you know, and I heard somebody point this out.
Yeah.
Somebody pointed this out. They said there's only three people who know exactly what happened, and they said much the same thing in the Trayvon Williams one earlier. They said there's three people who know what happened, and that's the person who was shot, the people who or the person who did the shooting, and God. Mm-hmm. Those are the only three people who know exactly what happened.
Okay, exactly. Yeah.
And so you know, we'll have to let the courts work that out. And I would certainly say that if this officer was wrong, if he shot this individual purposely, then yes, by all means, he should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. That's absolutely true. But if he was in the course of his duty defending his life for fearing that he was in jeopardy, and fearing that he was going to be injured, possibly killed, then he should be supported for having done his duty to defend himself.
Exactly.
And, you know, a dead police officer is no good to the community. Police are there, you know, they refer to police oftentimes as the thin blue line. And is every police officer perfect? Absolutely not.
But on average,
most police officers, they want to do a service. You know, they want to serve their community. They want to protect people. They want to enforce the law fairly. A lot of police officers are willing to give people a break, you know, give them the benefit of the doubt and all that. But, you know, think about it. They're like soldiers on the firing line. When somebody's shooting at them, they don't have the luxury of sitting back and analyzing every detail.
Yes.
And
yes.
so, you know, they are, according to the Bible, ministers of God who, you know, are, you know, to carry out hopefully God's will. The government should be carrying out God's will, but unfortunately it doesn't all the time. But we need to realize that these people are there for a purpose, and that purpose, of course, is identified for us in Romans chapter 13. Let me go back to that. Romans 13 verse 1, where it says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." So every government is ordained of God. Now, question is, are they serving God or not?
Yes.
You know, that's the question. Any government that's in power, God has allowed them to come to power. They're responsible. Those government officials are responsible to God. They're supposed to be carrying out God's work as a government official. And it goes on, it says, "Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same." And here it is talking about government officials, and this would apply to the police officer that's a designated individual by the government to protect the community and enforce the law. Romans 13 verse 4, "For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain." Now, the sword was a deadly instrument. And it goes on to say, "For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doth evil." And that's why police officers are allowed to wield deadly force. God has entrusted that to governments, and that has been ordained to the police officers. Now, here's the problem. Governments and even police officers run afoul of God's law. They govern not rightly, but wrongly, and they enforce things contrary to God's law. Does that make them any less answerable to God? No. They're going to stand before God. That government official, let's take somebody that everybody would recognize and revile probably equally. Just about everybody listening would think of Hitler as the Chancellor of Germany during the 1940s when he was giving orders to exterminate the Jewish people. Now, was he serving God? He was serving the God of this world, the devil. He wasn't serving the God of heaven. But he was a minister of God, answerable to God. And Hitler, whom I'm going to presume died without Christ, without trusting Christ as his Savior, has a greater degree of punishment in hell because he is answerable for failing to do his duty to enforce God's law. Because he abused God's law, and he abused the Jewish people, and he abused born-again Christians, and he persecuted them instead of protect them, he has much to answer for when he stands before God at the Great White Throne Judgment. Hitler was a government official, and he was a minister of God. He was to do good to those that did good. And he was to use the sword against those that did evil. But instead, he did the opposite. He used the sword to do evil to those that did good. And he promoted those that did evil. And he did good to them. And so he had a lot to be accountable for. And so that's where, of course, we as Christians, it's our duty sometimes to resist these ungodly government leaders and ungodly government laws, because they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And if a government official's doing what he's supposed to be doing, it's easy for a Christian to get along with the government, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
But governments aren't always doing what they're supposed to be doing.
No.
So that's why we need to pray for our government. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And, you know, the Bible says that when, in the evil and power, the people mourn, and, you know, we can identify with that.
Amen.
You know, we need to pray for government officials. The Bible says, pray for kings, that we might live peaceably.
Yeah, you know, I'm really concerned about this policeman. If they do clear him of the murder of Michael Brown, it just seems like people are going to be out to get him. I mean, I don't think his life will ever be.
Oh, yeah, his life is irrevocably changed.
Yeah, I just, you know, very concerned about him. If he is, if they do, the grand jury does decide, it's going to be really, really scary for him to, you know. But anyhow, that was just a side note. Well, thank you for explaining all that. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah. Well, I appreciate the call. I was going to add one thing there. Somebody pointed out, you know, the fact that his life was changed the moment that, the you know, altercation took place. And they said the types of things that happen when an officer shoots somebody like that, you know, understand, there's no cop that's going to go out there saying, you know, I'm going to shoot somebody tonight just for the fun of it.
Oh, no.
Because his life is changed completely the moment something like that happens. And whether he's guilty or innocent, whether he's the victim or the aggressor, his life will never be the same. I can only hope that he knows Christ as his Savior.
We
need to pray for him. You know, guilty or innocent, we need to pray for him. And we need to pray for the family of the individual that was shot. Guilty or innocent, we need to pray for his family as well. And that what the devil means for evil, God can bring some good out of it. So,
Well, thank you for the excellent explanation.
I appreciate the call tonight.
I enjoy your show so much.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate the call.
So inspiring and so biblical.
Well, I appreciate that.
Can you explain anybody that calls you up? You explain, you know, so well to everybody. Thank you. Well, God bless you.
Well, thanks, and Lord bless you as well. Appreciate that.
Okay.
And certainly, we need to pray for people, elected officials. Pray for people. God lays people upon your heart. Pray for them. And God will direct you, people to pray for. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's toll-free, 888-677-9673. If you're listening to me and you're in the United States, you can call that number, 888-677-9673. I know that works in Canada, too, because we've had people call from Canada in the past. I believe that's the number that they dialed, 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd sure love to hear from you tonight, and we'll get you on the air with us here. Talk about some other things happening in the world. And, you know, the Bible says we ought to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And certainly when you look at what's happening in the Middle East, it's not just Hamas raining rockets down on Israel. Every time they have a ceasefire, it's broken because Hamas rains a barrage of rockets down on Israel. But this is something that's rather interesting. Israeli military intelligence has estimated now that Hamas has only maybe a third of its original stock of rockets. That's a lot. I mean, if they've only fired two-thirds of them, and they've been firing hundreds and hundreds of rockets in, but they believe that it's limited now to a few hundred medium-range missiles, and a number of the rockets that they have left are rockets that they're producing inside of Gaza, and they're rather primitive, and they are estimating, this is Israeli military intelligence, is estimating that only 10% of them fired actually threaten or fall in Israeli populated areas. The overwhelming majority of them are either intercepted by Israel's Iron Dome anti-missile system, or a great many of them, they go up and they come right back down in the area they were launched for. They fall within the Gaza Strip. Many of the casualties that are inflicted in Gaza have been Hamas missiles going up and coming right back down because many of the ones they're using are rather unreliable. So pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I just read a thing also earlier this evening that, again, somebody has been firing missiles out of Lebanon into northern Israel. And so there's a lot of concern along Israel's northern border as well. So pray for them. And, of course, give us a call if you got a question about the Bible or current events, 888-677-9673. We've got Deborah on the line. And, Deborah, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Hi, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening. Welcome.
May God bless you today.
And you too. Thank you.
There's so much pain. And I'm a mother of a 16-year-old son.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not the first event I'm calling regarding
right.
the shooting.
Uh-huh.
As you've known and you have covered, because I listen to your show all mm-hmm. the time, it's becoming a lot of parents are thinking that it's becoming so annoying, and I would use the word annoying. I could use a stronger one, but it would be irrelevant because I'm a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I read Romans, and I've read all that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so heartfelt when you constantly hear, and it happens to the same, you know, to black kids.
Yeah, and you know what's really a shame? In the last 5 years, there's been over 40,000 black men killed.
Don't remind me. My son is a church-going person. Mm-hmm. He's trained well in his house, and mm-hmm. I have no comment as to how this child was trained. Okay, but I've witnessed a couple of times
mm-hmm.
the way they dress.
Yeah.
Okay, it's their fashion. But yet it evokes the cops to think that they're drug dealers and they're, you know, these are good kids. If
yeah.
you wear a hoodie on your head, which frankly I really don't like it, because if I see someone with a hoodie, I would normally walk the other side
mm-hmm.
and be unaware. But it's a fashion, and it's not only worn by black kids now. It's
oh yeah,
kind of harder. It's worn by white kids,
right.
the pants below the waist and all that.
Yeah.
It's like a self, you know, these teenagers using their own fashion as a self-expression.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I don't want to cut you short, but we got about less than 30 seconds to go before the program ends.
Okay, I'm just saying, you know, something has to be done
yeah.
that they evaluate these situations before mm-hmm. it starts getting to a riot.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to have to let you go there because we're out of time here tonight. And
we
need to pray for people, don't we? We need to pray for our young people today. Yeah, we need to pray for our young people. And, you know, we need good parents like you that want to get them into church. Hey, we're out of time tonight. God bless. Join us again next week. Have a great week. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenold.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenight.maplenold.us. That's latenight.maplenoel.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 6 p.m. Tune in every week to Late Night with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 on WHKWAM, 1220 The Word, and Faith Talk 570 and 910 WTBN. Late Night Live is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.